You're listening to local programming produced in KUNV Studios.
You're listening to Rebel Radio with your host, Malika Bella.
Yeah, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to Rebel Radio. I'm your host, Malika Bella, here with our guest, Sonia Barcelona.
Hello, hello.
And before we do intros and all of that, I do want to play a little game just to, you know, ease into this. So really, it is a word association, right? There's no right or wrong answer, just any word or phrase that comes to mind. And we'll do it in like a speed round.
Okay.
So you up for it?
Well, okay, cool. I'm kind of nervous. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to think of?
Vegas.
I think of art. That's weird. But
yeah. Identity.
Crisis.
I feel that. Yes. Fame.
Fortune.
Wonder.
Magic.
Mm-hmm. Art.
Soul.
And last but not least, music.
My guitar.
Yeah. I love seeing your facial expressions too. So you finding the words and you're like, oh, that one.
Yes. Just,
it's a journey. I love it.
My friends really enjoy my facial expressions as well.
So who is Sonia Barcelona?
Oh man, that's so funny. So I would say, yeah, I say I'm an artist because I just create a lot of art in different forms. So more recently it was like drawing, but I was drawing like 10 years ago, and I create music, I perform that music, I write songs. Yeah, I don't know, I feel like my life, I try to make it like art. And that's how I'm kind of approach, like my mentality. Like the other day, who asked me a question? Vinyls. Okay, so they were like, hey, the next door shop, it's about vinyl, and then they're like moving out. And I was like, there's a freaking vinyl shop next door? And they're like, yeah, it's like shutting down. And I was like, no, the vinyl shop cannot shut down. Like, I need to go there now. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, like vinyl music? And they're like, no, like vinyl, they print like vinyl banners. And I was like, I'm so in the mode of music that when they said that, I was, you know, like my brain is operating like that. Like, so I just, in that moment too, I was like, oh, I'm clearly in the music related things in my mind and art. So
the porcine shop, they're like, oh, we thought we had somebody advocating.
I know. No, wow. And I was like, oh, you're just like vinyl banners and stuff. Well, I thought of vinyl stickers and so, and, yeah. But yeah, that was a funny moment because they were confused, and then I just misunderstood it. So yeah,
makes life fun.
Yeah, I guess like my brain is full of just like how to create and creation things. So I call myself an artist. So Sonia Barcelona would be an artist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested in, you know, you saying, well, there is that saying of like life imitates art and all that. I think what you said beautifully is your life is art and you try to create that. So speaking of creating, how did you come up with the name Sonia Barcelona?
Okay, so that's a funny and maybe a long story that I'll try to piece together in like a little nice sandwich. So my original name, my mom, at the time when I was born, she gave me her ex-husband's last name, who is not my father. And I was like, Mom, why did you do that? And she's this 4'11" Filipino lady. And she's like, I don't know. It was easier at the time. You know, like, I don't know. Like, and I was like, you could have given me your maiden name. But that was my middle name. So it's Sonia Vergara is my middle name, her, like, born name. And later on in life, I was like, oh my gosh, I have basically a stranger's last name. And it's like a bummer just to know that. So I think it was around 2014 or 2015, I traveled to Europe for the first time in my life. And one of the cities I went to was Barcelona. Yeah. And it really changed my life with the Gaudi architecture. Just like I saw Dali artwork in person for the first time. And that really changed my life, just the feeling of that city and the artwork it was. Like, just to be in it and the people, how they lived, it was amazing and very inspiring. And I was also aware of the history of Barcelona, like Spain in general, on the rest of the world. So I'm half Filipino, and I was looking for an artist name because that's when I also was trying to get more serious about my music. And I was like, it cannot be the stranger's last name. Like, that's so not cool. So I was at one point, I was like, Sonia Masala?
You're like, does it roll off the tongue?
Yeah.
Does it?
Because I'm also half Indian. And then I was like, no, that's not cool, Sonia. But, you know, thinking of the trip and how it made me feel, how it inspired me, I was like, Barcelona. And, you know, there's a connection there with my Filipino side of Spain. And then just in general, not forgetting my history, not forgetting where I came from. There is it's a beautiful thing that Spaniards had an influence on the Philippines, but it was also really dark. My mom is clearly like Spaniard in her blood. You can see she's like lighter skin. She doesn't have like a button nose. Like there's a Spaniard influence in her. So I thought that was highly appropriate to choose Sonia Barcelona, culturally, just being in Barcelona, seeing what it was like. And that's when I changed my stage name to Sonia Barcelona, 2015 or 2016.
Beautiful. I don't know if you've like shopped at Trader Joe's and they have random, like if it's an Italian pasta or something, they're like Trader Giotto's or like, and they have different, so the different Sonias, and then like imagine a worldly Sonia where there's like Sonia Masala.
Oh my God. Like,
that's what I'm envisioning. I'm going to champion that. So we got Barcelona. Let's see what's next.
Yeah.
Around the map.
Yo, I'm down. I'm down to just be like different versions. It's kind of like a different Spidey universes, different Sonia universes. That's funny.
Also, my mom is part Spanish. Like her dad has deep ties with Spain, but she mainly identifies as being Salvadorian or like from El Salvador. So I know that she always pokes fun at like people with different accents, like within the Spanish language. And with a lot of Spanish people, they're like Barcelona. Like, I don't know how to say it, but she always pokes fun at that. And I'm like, oh my God, imagine somebody saying your stage name like that.
it's happened because, there's a lot of Spaniards who... they're like Barcelona. And then I go like, I don't pronounce it like that because I'm American. But it is supposed to be pronounced like that. Yeah.
Sonia. Get your own.
Sonia Barcelona. Yeah.
Well, that can be added to the map too.
I'm okay with that, you know?
Hey. Well, something that I want to talk about for sure is your first album, right? Bitter Melon. So when we think of that name, or we being myself and all of my personalities included, when I think of Bitter Melon, I think of like the actual like food and the like sense of wellness that it brings and the literal taste of it being bitter and but very good for you and this bittersweetness. I don't know if that was part of the naming process or what the whole album means to you, but if you want to elaborate.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for just being interested in the name of my album. Thank you for just doing research on that plant. That's like it's a vegetable gourd, kind of like similar to like a cucumber, but it has this really spiny looking weird texture to it. And when I was a kid, Filipinos know this type of food in our dishes, like in lots of stews and stuff, and I hated it as a child. My mom said it was medicinal, and then when you get older, it's good for you, it's healthy for you, but I hated it. And it's funny because now as an adult, I really like it. I like the taste of bitter things, and I go like, oh man, I really wish I had that dish with Bitter Melon and stuff. I named the album Bitter Melon because of that concept of like just growing up, getting older. The things that you experience in life can be really bitter, and they could like leave you with a bad taste in your mouth, but sometimes those things are medicinal for you to grow, if that makes sense. If there's a challenge in your life, something that really rocks your world, like how do you approach that? How do you move through that? And so I think Bitter Melon is kind of about that. It starts with tracks that are with a band and ends like with solo. So half of the album is with a band arrangement and the other half is just like me and my vocals. So I end it with this song called Home because I felt that like you can begin on a journey, but then how do you find yourself back to you, back to your version of home, back to whatever that is? And for me, it's like family. What does family mean to me? What does being alone or solo mean? Like, so I think that's what medicine is. Like Bitter Melon is like, oh, dang, I don't want to have that bitter thing. But life will throw things at you. And how do you get back to yourself? That's kind of like the concept of Bitter Melon. The food. I love food. I'm a big foodie. So, it's highly appropriate that I would name an album after a food.
Yeah. Just beautiful. I love it. I do want to say a little tidbit too. My parents juice bitter melon. They're like, it's so healthy for you, all this. And I'm like, I don't know. I'll steer away until like, yeah, parents or, I don't know, elders in our lives typically know what we should be doing, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, here, like this, that. And it's up to us to really experience that or make that decision. Like, what is the saying? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink or something like that.
Yes.
So we ultimately have to drink, whether it be the bitter melon juice or not. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of decisions to be made.
Right. Yeah, there's so many directions that a person can take. And knowing your history, so like me and my name, being respectful of those that came before you, so that ancestry, and listening to, like, you know, when your parents are like, this is really good for you, and then you go through the motions of life, and you're like, oh, I saw this TikTok video, and then it showed me this, and then at the end of the day, bitter melon starts trending, and you're like, oh, my parents told me that, like, when I was a kid. So it's like, you know, it's like, who should you be listening to? It's like, it's already there. It's all the answers are right in front of your face. So it's like, yeah, it's pretty simple. It sucks, but it's simple. Bitter melon, it's really intense, but it works. And it does have an acquired taste, I would say.
Yeah. So you talking about, you know, the bitterness of life and really all of these like paths you take or whatever happens in your life individually, finding that sense of home for yourself and how you define it. That is true, right? I'm wondering if that's also true on another level of the album itself. Did it help you find your own version of home through music?
That's such a great question. It's almost as if I'm still like living through the same patterns or cycles in life. And learning the lesson of like what home means to me. So I grew up as an only child in a nuclear family. So mom, dad, and me. And then, so I was very used to being like solo, very confident in that solo-ness. And then you go through like love, you go through relationships and how that feels. And I think now as I get older, I'm like, oh my God, those things of the heart are so important. When your heart breaks, where do you go? What do you do? Those moments, I feel like when someone's heart is broken, it's like you almost get so lost. You get so confused. And I'm still learning those lessons of, and it can be anything. It could be like death. It doesn't have to be heartbreak. That's heartbreaking, death. Metaphorical death of like, relationships that you had with friends, like you used to have a best friend here and they're no longer at this part of your life, and you're like, oh my gosh, like, so I'm learning this transition, or I'm in transitions, and I go like, wow, I feel like, how do I find my stability, my groundedness? And yes, music has always saved the day. That's what I've learned continuously throughout whatever cycle is happening in my life, is that my guitar, even if it's not there for me, it's like my voice is there for me. So each person has their thing, but I've discovered like, wow, I cannot give up on expressing. I think it was last year where I was like at a moment where I said, I think I'm gonna give up on music. Like, I think I'm just gonna stop, because I've been writing songs for almost 10 plus years with not the intention of getting like famous or anything. It's just that the process more recently became very difficult and not fun. Mm-hmm. And then if you keep on doing it, you know, just naturally over time, the attention that it brings, the pressure that it might bring, the desire to be a full-time artist is there too. Mm-hmm. So then I bring pressure to myself. And so it just didn't become fun. And I was like, I think I'm just going to give up. And it's funny because I said that, and then crazy cool happened. Oh, can I curse? Oh my God.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
And then music came in and reminded me, like, you cannot give up on this thing. It's like moments when people say like, hey, I listened to your song and it really helped me out. Or, you know, just like I just like found you on the internet, and then this thing. So it's like that reminds me, for me in particular, music is so important. Music really is my home. Music is within me. And I would be doing a disservice to myself, and to my ancestors, to my parents, if I were not to do that for myself in this lifetime. So it reminds me of my purpose. I think, yeah, feeling lost and confused, I just go like, what's your purpose, Sonia? And then when I don't remind myself, like, hey, then that's when I go, that's when I give up on everything and be a little crybaby. And then I get out of that and say, like, Sonia, stop being a little baby. Like, you have these abilities, help people with it and keep on moving forward. So, yeah.
I, for one, can attest that you have helped me with your music and with all forms of your art, honestly. When did you say you're an artist? You really are.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It really means a lot to me to hear those things, too. I think for any artist to hear it. Because, yeah, it's sometimes we ourselves, like, I don't know, I have a Van Gogh phone cover. And that dude went crazy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He bit off ears and just cut. I said bit off ears. That's freaking Mike Tyson vibes. So for artists to hear those things, it's really important because sometimes we can feel a complete opposite. So thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I also learned that about myself after the pandemic as well, when like I couldn't gig as much or something. I was just like, what can I do? And there's something within me that needs to create something. And I started drawing. So I see that you noticed that too. So thank you for that. But it's like that. It's like I can't not do it or else I don't feel myself. And that's when I knew like, yep, I should just say it. Like, some of you are freaking artists. And just if you deny it, then you're going to have a mental breakdown.
No, it seems like it. You already said it best, but your expression, your outlet, it is like it feels like an aligning purpose that you're like every time you stray away from it, you're like, nope, I have to go back. Or there's signs from the universe, signs from different people, even signs maybe from yourself that you're like, you know what, I have to either write the song or I have to sing it and perform it or I have to, you know, draw or paint or do whatever it is in that moment to feel and express yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you are a true creative. Not that my opinion really holds all of this weight, but in my eyes, you definitely are.
And it's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to see the acknowledgement. So thank you so much. Yeah, it's like it's those things. It's really important, too. Like a lot of us are like as artists or any creator, sometimes we do have the imposter syndrome happen. And it's crazy. You'd be like, oh, my God, this person is incredible or whatever. Like, I had a good friend who's like, amazing rapper, whatever. And he still thought he was not the greatest. And I'm like, yo, like, it's just so, yeah, artists can have identity crises all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
As was mentioned in that little game.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Speaking of, so the first word was Vegas, right? And you said art or like art scene or like really any of that. This is like really old, but I'm interested in knowing about, you know, your ties to Vegas. You kind of touched on it, but also the art scene. So I found out that you kind of co-started or maybe really completely started Farside Wonderfest.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Blast from the past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Yes. That was the first festival at Ferguson's downtown. Wow, thank you for seeing that. I just wanted to see how I can put together a bunch of artists, and the opportunity was there to just do a little festival. So I was like, why don't I just put together this thing, see who can help me out. And I want the feeling of wonder to be there. I want the feeling of like just being there with your family and enjoying. And I also put it on the date of my birthday. So September 7th is my birthday, and I was releasing Bitter Melon. So it was kind of like, hey, it's my birthday. It's also my album release, but it's also like I love giving to my community. So I'm just going to like highlight some excellent artists. Jen Taylor at the time, she was running Ferguson's, and I went to her with the idea like, hey, can I do my album release? Blah, 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 blah. She was like, yeah, let's do it. So just brought together some people who wanted to help out. And yeah, that happened. And it was funny. At the end, I wanted to showcase Violent Water, which was this music video that was crowdfunded by the community. I was a mermaid in it. like, Desert Cactus Productions husband wife team. They directed, produced it. I said, hey, I want to be a brown mermaid. At the time, I was like, I don't see any brown mermaids and stuff, okay? Like, let's make a brown mermaid saving some sailor or whatever. And then that was literally it. And then Danny was like, he put together freaking sketch boards and everything. And it was just incredible. So I wanted to release it there. It was so funny. At the end of the night, so all the performances went down. I played with my band at the time. And then I wanted to do a blow up of the there's like a projection screen, mm-hmm. and then it freaking crapped out on me and it was too windy. And it was so funny because I was like, yo, I want to like show this video, but it's whatever. It's like learning to roll with the punches. And then I just said, hey guys, just go on my YouTube because you'll be able to see it there. I'm so sorry, the wind is hurting this projector screen. It was a little embarrassing, but I said, you know what, whatever, we tried and failed to showcase that, but at least you saw a live performance of the song, so yeah. So that was Farside Wonderfest. Just I love bringing together the community, helping out in any way, highlighting other artists. So that was a big thing that happened, very first festival, and then since then there have been like many others. But I feel very privileged to have been like the first for that. That was pretty cool. And I didn't expect to be the first either. I wasn't saying like, I want to be the first. It was just a cool idea. And then Jen was like, yeah, do it. So yeah, thank
you. Just out there blazing trails. And then you don't have time to look behind and be like, oh yeah, I did that. Like,
actually, yeah, I was like, that is a throwback. So thanks for researching.
Of course. Yeah. And it's interesting that you say it was on your birthday and all of that too, because typically like people, this is going to sound so sappy, but people get presents, right? Instead of like giving these presents. Mm. So you literally gave everyone a beautiful gift of like your presence, your performance, everything that you put together for everybody to come into community with each other. So it's just beautiful. It really is.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, actually, I love doing that. I love, because that's sharing that brings me such joy. Like, I like, don't get me wrong, I like getting presents, but that's like Christmas time vibes. On my birthday, I'm like, here, this is what I can offer. This is the best version of myself, you know? So I remember in 2017, for my birthday, that's when I started. So I'm also a photographer. I started photos for the people on that day. So it's kind of simple. Like, I see what the track record is for me on my birthdays. It's like, typically I want to like give something, and that's how I connect to other people and give. And I love seeing other people smile. So yeah, I love giving on my birthday. So,
yeah. not only were you birthed on that day, you continue to birth things on that day. So that's pretty cool. Mm. But yeah, about Violent Water. So I ended up watching the Kickstarter and I love it. It reminds me of kind of like Scott Pilgrim
vibes. Oh my God, yeah. Yes.
So entertaining for all reasons. I love it. Love it. And the music video itself, amazing. Mm, amazing. Yay. So for any people out there who are interested, don't worry. You don't have to deal with the wind blowing over. So.
It was violent wind, not water that day.
But definitely go give it a listen and a watch. So I know you got a bit of like recent news. Netflix, a big deal with that one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, that happened recently. And that's when I mentioned that I was about to like give up on music. I think it's been wild to experience life after the pandemic, like 2 years for an artist not being out and sharing what I am used to like giving. That was so damaging to me internally. So mental health has become such a big thing for me now as an artist. Like, I really am trying to live that out in my life, so I can, if any other artist wants to ask questions, then maybe that's where I would be like, hey, yeah, I have been doing this for 10 years and I'm miraculously still creating. I think of that. I go like, oh my God, it's crazy for me to even still be creating anything. And it is the long run. So what am I doing right now to sustain it? So that's what I would want to like help others with. But basically, I didn't think I could sustain it last year. So I was like, I'm going to give up and blah, 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 get a regular 9-to-5, blah, 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 blah. And I was really like sad. And I was doing as much as I could for my mental health. Got a therapist. I still have this. My dad gave me on my birthday a Fitbit. And then I just started walking 10,000 steps a day to get in my exercise. And I noticed, I was like, oh yeah, I'm not getting enough exercise in. I'm not blah, blah, blah. And so that and just like socializing. It's weird because it's like I thought it was so natural to me before the pandemic. And then afterward, it was like, oh my God, I don't even know how much socializing I need. I went like way overboard and went to every single event right after the pandemic. And then I circled and reeled it all back in because I was like, oh my God, I went too many things and now I'm like burnt out on socializing. So now I think I'm rebalancing and all of that took a lot of energy from me. And I was like, I think I'm just going to give up because I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And then my song, Heart Station, got placed in a Netflix show called The Brother Son. And this happened, I got the news right before Christmas. So this was wild because I was having a very lonely Christmas, to be honest. I was very in my like sad existential artist head, which is not normal for me. I'm not like that. I was just like reminded that I cannot give up on music. And in particular, Heart Station is actually my personal, lyrically, my personal favorite song that I've created. I made it in 20 minutes on an iPad. Mm-hmm. Like it was in general, like, the format of the song, all the lyrics, I wrote it down. I remember just being like, this is such a fun song. I love it so much. And I'm half Indian. I'm going to lean into that and put some sitar samples from some really amazing Indian sitarists and blah, 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 blah. So I remember being like super playful with it and just being like, ah, this is epic. And I love the lyrics. And this was right after Violent Water. So Violent Water got like huge attention because of the music video and the Kickstarter. But I was saying to myself lyrically after that, I was like, no, but Heart Station is my favorite. That was 4 years ago, right? So now it circles back to save the day for me in my life, right when I felt so low and just like down and out. And I couldn't help but think like, wow, there is nothing that will save me except myself. And this, what is within me is music. Is song. And in that song, the lyrics go, and if you fall, get back up in celebration. Just feel the beat, let it fill up your heart station. And I was just like, dude, I need to listen to myself.
Like, what? Like, what? Like,
I was like, so I just felt so, I was crying, I was sobbing, I was so grateful. I was just, I couldn't believe that that was the song, too, to remind me that, you know, if you fall, you can get back up and you can do it. You can, like, you can do it on your own and then you will get the help that you need. Like, you've been doing so much work within yourself. Like, these are things that I'm telling myself in my mind and all that. But, yeah, that happened. And I didn't know what kind of show it was going to be. So I watched The Brother Son. It's an amazing show. It's a freaking Taiwanese family gangster show with Michelle Yeoh in it, who's a hero of mine. She's in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. She's just like in Everything Everywhere All at Once, which was is one of my favorite movies of all time. And when I saw that, I freaked out. I think I almost passed out. And then my dad, he's so chill. He's like, so I grew up with my stepdad, who's like this like kind of intimidating Mexican guy. And so when you approach him, you think like, oh my God, don't mess with him. But he's actually a real teddy bear. And I was like, dad, I'm good. Oh my, my song's in a Netflix show. It's incredible. And he was like, wow.
Wise words.
Yeah, wise just words. Super chill, like man of minimal words. And, you know, when I watched it, it was so long that it was placed in the show, and they didn't tell me anything. They just said, this is the scene and this is the show. So I go in with like such a surprise. I'm like, I didn't know how long it was going to be. It's literally in the show for like 4 minutes. And the song itself is like 2. So I'm like, how did that happen? Like, what? And I had a watch party with close friends and family, and it was incredible. It was just so beautiful to be reminded that, you know, to keep going. To see that it brings such joy, and it was like everything that I love. It was a all Asian cast. They were very mindful of the soundtrack. I asked this. I went and messaged the music supervisor, and I said, thank you so much. They did an article explaining how the artists that they chose are like minorities, all minorities, and they're like, we want to support Asian or Black, just like musicians. And I was like, oh my God, I'm on that list. There's Kendrick Lamar is on that list. I was like, what the freak is happening in my life right now? So I'm still weirded out by it in the best way, because it's just like that's unbelievable. You know, like,
yeah,
it's just unbelievable.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening to part one of Sonia's episode. Make sure to tune in next week for part two. And remember to follow her on Instagram at Art of Sonia.
Thank you for listening to Rebel Radio with Malika Bella. Lyrics locals love on the Rebel HD2.